Speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So today we're thinking about making godly choices, using the freedom that God gives us to choose how to live in the best possible way. There's a verse, a wonderful verse in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 3, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Now, I've given to the sidesmen some pieces of paper. If you just give a bunch to the end of the pew, people can pass it along for themselves. Everybody needs a blank piece of paper. So have you got a blank piece of paper? That's very good. And what I'd like you to try and do is to tear it lengthways in as straight a line as possible. Okay, so you'd like to just try that. Try it once, try it again, try it several times. And towards the end of the prayers, we'll be using those bits of paper, so make sure you hold on to them. So, the first reading we heard was about making godly choices, and we saw the people of God who were trying to do the right thing, coming under pressure. Peer pressure, to do what everyone else is doing. How are you doing with that bit of paper? Yep, some of you managing it, some of you... Yeah, very good, excellent. Some very, very good efforts. Some not quite so good, I can see from here already, but try it once. If you think your first go wasn't very good, then try it again. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. So there was peer pressure to do what everyone else is doing, and you may be watching how someone else is tearing theirs and getting a little tip from the person next door to you how you might do it slightly better. But Israel were desperate to have a king, just like all the other nations around them. The prophet Samuel warned them that that wasn't going to be God's best way forward for them, because it would mean that they would no longer see God as their true king in the same way. But their heart was set on doing it the way other people were doing it. Because the other nations had a king, we want a king. They wanted to conform to be like their neighbours. And so God graciously allowed that. It wasn't his best way for them, but he allowed them a plan B. And even though it had all kinds of dangers, God graciously gave them Saul to rule over them. And sure enough, there were sad consequences further down the line from the choice that they made. Before long, Israel had split into two separate nations, rather like that bit of paper you've just torn in two, with a king of Israel and a king of Judah, who were soon in conflict with each other. And that was the result from pressure to do what everyone else is doing around. Because they've got a king, we want a king. We want to do things the way other people are. And we all come under those kinds of pressures, I think. And then the second reading we just heard was also about making godly choices whilst under pressure. We see Jesus himself under family pressure to fit in with other people's expectations of him. And that can be a real temptation for many of us who naturally want to please our parents as we grow up. I'm grateful to Steve Benson for many things. In addition to his many important jobs as church warden, he also occasionally gives the vicar jokes for sermons, which is an important job for a church warden. And this is a story about parents who found a devious way of getting their son to conform. This teenage boy just passed his driving test, and he asked of his dad as to when he might be able to actually use the car. And his dad said he'd make a deal with his son. He said, "Son, you bring your grades up from a C to a B on average. You study your Bible a little and get your hair cut. And then we'll have a talk about maybe you using the car." And the boy thought about it for a moment. He decided, fair enough, I'll settle for the offer. And they agreed on it. And after about 6 weeks, his dad said, "Son, well, I can see you've brought your grades up. And I have noticed you've been studying your Bible a lot, but I have to say, I'm disappointed you haven't had your hair cut yet." And the boy said, "Well, you know, Dad, I've been thinking about that. And I've noticed in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair, John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, there's even strong evidence that Jesus had long hair." To which his dad replied, "And did you also notice that they all walked everywhere they went?" Devious pressure from parents to get children to conform. Pressure to conform to conform to expectations of the norms around us. It can be explicit. Some of us are aware of our parents disapproving of our choices of college subjects or career or marriage partner. Or it can be subtle, more subtle than that. But notice that Jesus is very, very clear in his response to that kind of pressure. He says, no, it's what God wants for him is what truly matters. He says, who are my parents and my family? Actually, you are. The people who are doing the will of God. You are my friends and my family. In the end, making godly choices will mean relativizing pressure from the family and from our friends as well. In the end, they don't know what's best for you as much as your God does. It's your creator, the one who made you, who actually knows what makes you tick. Now, there is a second church member I've been really grateful to this week, and that is Sue West. Sue had a prayer labyrinth mown in her field, which we were all invited to go and use last Monday evening. Some of us did, and some used it during the week as well. And it was immensely powerful. At School for Prayer last Monday, it was an immensely powerful experience for those of us who took part in it. We followed the twisting pattern of that labyrinth to its centre. It's like a vivid, acted parable of trusting God where he leads as we seek to make godly choices in our lives. And I had these verses ringing in my mind, the book of Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. I didn't have to think where I was going because I was just following where I was being led. It was a very powerful experience in prayer to do that. So, could you hold up your bit of paper and see how you've done on that? Anybody think they did pretty well on tearing a straight line? Lovely. Anybody think they didn't do too well? Okay, so some people I did notice were following other people. I noticed there was a secret that some of you used to tearing a better straight line. And I saw some of you doing it. You instantly thought, I've got to do that. I will fold it first. And I saw some of you try it first without the fold. And they thought, ah, there's a little tip here. Fold it first. Well, if you like, God's will is about finding the fold so that actually it becomes easier to actually do something like that. And we had another perfect sermon illustration of all this this week, of course. Not only is Steve Benson an important person, not only is Sue West an important person in our church family, but Jimmy here is also a perfect, I think, example of what this is about. Because there can be, I think Jimmy will agree with this, there can be subtle pressure among trendy youth workers to not become a vicar. Absolutely, because trendy youth workers sometimes think, actually, I'm down with the kids here, and that fuddy-duddy vicar who thinks, you know, the old way of doing things is important, really doesn't understand, and there can be a divide, and there can be pressure amongst the youth worker fraternity to actually don't go there. They're the people who employ us, and we have to actually treat them with very carefully. Well, there was a wonderful moment on Wednesday when Bishop Richard laid hands on Jimmy's head together with the others being ordained, and he said these are the operative words: send down the Holy Spirit on your servant Jimmy for the office and work of a priest in your church. And then he said this prayer: through your Spirit, Heavenly Father, give these your servants grace and power to proclaim the gospel of your salvation and minister the sacraments of the new covenant. Renew them in holiness, give them wisdom and discipline to work faithfully with those committed to their charge. In union with their fellow servants in Christ, may they reconcile what is divided, heal what is wounded, and restore what is lost. That is, I think, a prayer to follow God's way, to be wise and disciplined in doing so, bringing reconciliation where things have been torn apart. It's all about praying for God's help in making godly choices in our lives, despite the pressures. Despite the pressures of what everyone else is doing, despite what the family might think we ought to be doing, and for some of us, just being Christians is a really tough thing because the rest of the family don't understand it and actually want us to conform to their way of doing stuff instead. But if we truly are able to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not on our own understanding, he will make straight our paths. Back in the 1990s, and I finished with this, I lived we lived as a family in a Christian community at Lee Abbey, and one member of the community was a nun who had been seconded from her sort of primary community at the convent to come and be with us and to teach us to pray. She was named Sister Carol, very holy and inspiring lady. And one day she'd been sent some material from her convent mother house to make a new habit. And she got Jebs to actually do it for her. So we had the material in the house, this special nun's habit material had come and been, some special delivery had got it to us. And I came home from doing something around the place, and I saw Jebs doing this. Material. This isn't special nun's material here, this is just an old sheet. But Jebs was doing this. Going like that. Just doing that to this incredibly important holy material, just ripping it away. And I was thinking, don't you want to get some scissors and actually measure and be very careful about what you're doing? But she seemed perfectly happy, just ripping away and not really worrying about what she was doing. And I thought, you're going to ruin that material. But clearly I'm not a dressmaker. And she is. And actually when you do that, of course what happens is it actually follows the line. You can pull with all your might and just trust God to sort out the straight lines involved. You don't even actually need a fold. At the end of the day, there's a wonderful, safe feeling when you lean on God with all your might and trust in Him to make straight your paths. You might make wrong choices along the way, but He can redeem those and bring them back into His perfect will. He's able. All we have to do is go for it. Just let it rip. And God will do the rest. And that, I think, is my understanding of that verse from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't work it out exactly what you're going to do step by step with a ruler and some scissors. Lean not on your own understanding. Just simply, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and let it rip. He will make straight your paths. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.